Good morning. I'd ask you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Enjoyed the opening portion of our meeting this morning with the singing and the instrumentalists. Nice to have that trumpet joined in with the instrumentalists. Appreciate that, Brother Charles. Acts chapter 2. There was a tough old cowboy from South Texas that counseled his grandson that if he wanted to have a long life, he was going to have to agree to this little secret. And the secret was, is he was to sprinkle just a little pinch of gunpowder on his oatmeal every morning. And he said, if you will commit to that, you will do that steadfastly and continually, then you'll see a difference in your life. And so certainly the grandson took his advice of his grandfather, and he did that faithfully. He committed to it every morning, continuously, all the way. He lived to 103 years old. And when he died, he left behind 45 grandchildren. He left behind 30 great-grandchildren, and even 25 great-great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole where the crematorium used to be. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be committed to. And the question is, what are you committed? You know, there's a lot of things in this life that vie for our commitment. It could be being committed to a person, to a job, to a hobby, to a habit, to one of those two things. Together, a lot of things that we can be committed to, even to being popular or having fun or whatever it might be. There's a lot of things that vie for your attention and for your commitment. Our goal in choosing a theme for this year at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel was to emphasize this whole idea of commitment. A lot of times when we consider this verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, a lot of times we only think of the aspects that are involved, that is, the principles around which we organize our meetings here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, and that's an important consideration. But what we chose to do this year in thinking about this verse is to emphasize the idea of our commitment, our being steadfastly continuing in these four things. And so let's read this verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we know that the early church in Acts, they met together for these four primary reasons. Now, there are a lot of other things that we could talk about with the local church that are important. We could talk about music. We could talk about evangelism and missions and a lot of things that are also related to these. But those were the four primary reasons around which they gathered when the early church was being established here in the book of Acts. And we look at these four principles in mind, and we think about the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine, of course, is the teaching of the Word of God. We might think of that as is God's plan for the local church. We think about the fellowship, which we're going to be looking at today. And we might look at that as the believer's participation in the local church. In the breaking of bread, we might look at the person around which we meet, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together at 9:30 every week to remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the breaking of bread. And the prayer, that is the power through which the Holy Spirit is going to work in our midst as an assembly. And we meet together on Wednesday nights, at other times for prayer, but mainly Wednesday nights for corporate prayer here at Shannon Hills. So why is it important for us to encourage the commitment to these four principles? It's not merely to encourage attendance and building up numbers, and we can pat ourselves on the back when we think, well, we've reached a certain level of attendance. That's not the point. The point is we want to be an assembly that is pleasing to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at the pattern in the New Testament, and we see the early church meeting together for these reasons. And this is what we want to emphasize, not just meeting for these reasons, but being steadfastly committed to these principles that we see here. And so not only does the assembly need us, but we need the assembly. It's a mutual benefit and need there. And the Lord of the church makes it clear in his word that just like the hand needs the body, so the body needs the hand as well. And so we can relate to that when we think of our bodies. And so it is with the assembly. Hebrews 10:25 says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And our desire is not to make us feel guilty when we can't be here. But what it is to examine our level of commitment to these four principles. And when we know that our level of commitment is where it could be and should be, then the attendance part will take care of itself. And so that's what we want to emphasize, is our commitment to these. And so continuing steadfastly, we've looked at, in previous times, we've considered the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and being committed, steadfastly committed to the breaking of bread. And corporate prayer we looked at last Sunday evening. And so I would ask us again to examine ourselves. And this challenge is not for us to examine somebody else, but it's to examine ourselves and to look at our level of commitment to the apostles' doctrine, to gathering to remember the Lord Jesus on Sunday mornings, and to gather on Wednesdays for corporate prayer. Where is your level of commitment is what we want to look at. Today what we would like to look at is fellowship here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. So let's read the context here of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, beginning in verse 41. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And as I mentioned last Sunday night when we read this passage, it's just so exciting when you see a local church like this that the Lord is blessing, that the Lord is working in. The power of God is evident. Souls are being saved. Prayers are being answered. The saints are being edified and built up. And all of these things that are so exciting to see. And we know that we're very excited when we look out and we see the level of commitment that we already have here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We are very blessed with being able to be in a fellowship such as this. But that doesn't mean we don't have room for growth. We can all examine all of these four areas and our level of commitment to each of them. And maybe there is room for growth and encouragement in that is what we would like to look at today. So as we think about fellowship, the first thing I'd like to look at is just the truth of fellowship. We got to understand the truth of it before we can examine our commitment to it. So what is fellowship? The first use of the Greek word is found right here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. And the word actually means an association. It refers to communion, joint participation, sharing together. And the Greek word is translated with several words related to that. It's translated as fellowship. It's translated as communion, contribution, as in the sharing of a gift, or to communicate, which also refers to the idea of giving. And so, you know, as we think about fellowship, we could think about our vertical fellowship, that is our fellowship with God. But I believe that in the context of Acts chapter 2, we're not really thinking primarily about our vertical fellowship with God, but rather our fellowship here in the assembly. It seems to be the idea based on the context of what we've just read. So applying that, assembly fellowship then, is that sharing together, that joint participation, that communion of ourselves together as we meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that who can be in fellowship in an assembly? When we look in the epistles, many of the epistles that Paul wrote, often he said to the saints who were at Colossae or Philippi or whatever the city was. And so we know that it'll be the saints, those who would know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, are the ones who can be in fellowship in a local assembly. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is the only criteria to come into fellowship in that regard. There are other things that we could talk about, but as far as Acts chapter 2, when we think of fellowship, to be born again is the need to be in fellowship. So if we look at chapter 4 and verse 32 of Acts, just a chapter over, in chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, "And now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul." And so you can see that togetherness. You can see that fellowship. You can see the communion, the sharing together, the joint participation that is a part of the local assembly. And one thing when we think about fellowship that I think we need to also address is the idea of fellowship versus membership. And there are many local churches that have a membership in their church. That is where somebody would come forward and they would want to have their name on a list of those who are recognized as members of that local church. And the idea of membership, in fact, the word is not even used in Scripture, the word for membership. The word member is used in Scripture, but there the word member is used in the idea of being a member of the body of Christ, or it refers to as a member of the body, of your body, such as your hand or your foot or your leg or whatever it might be. But nowhere in the New Testament do we find a local church having a membership list, as it were. And we're not saying anybody is necessarily wrong for having that. It's just that we see the pattern of the New Testament, and we want this church to be patterned after what we see taught in the Scripture. And so therefore, in this church, we choose not to have an actual membership. Because to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to be born again. We can see that be born out in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a member of His church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones." So when we think of membership, we might consider that as whether we're a member of the body of Christ. But now when it speaks of fellowship, that's a little different. Fellowship is what we see in that joint participation of those who come together as we meet here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, that sharing together. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is that fellowship, which is not just a sterile thing of just having your name on a list somewhere, but is that joint participation, that sharing together, that communion of believers in the blessings and the benefits of the local assembly. You know, we all remember that old saying of when you're a kid, your mom always tells you, you know, don't touch that hot stove. And what do you want to do? A lot of times you want to reach out and touch that hot stove. But when you do touch that hot stove, you pull your hand back fast. It's just an automatic reaction. Now, if you touch that hot stove and you don't pull your hand back, something is wrong. It should be an automatic reaction. If all the parts that are involved in that are working properly, then it's going to pull back automatically for the benefit of the whole body. If you didn't do that, then your body is going to suffer as a result. If your fingers were not working right, or your senses, your nerves were not working right, if your brain was not interpreting that data, sending those signals up, if there was some breakdown in some of the parts of the body that it was not functioning right, your whole body would suffer. When we think of fellowship, each one of us is important to this local body. And each one of us functioning properly is important to the whole body. That's why I believe the Scripture uses that picture of a body often to refer or to illustrate the teaching that we have of the local assembly being a body. And so we want to consider that in ourselves. What part do you have in this local fellowship? How are you jointly participating? How are you sharing together in the work and in the blessings and the benefits of being in fellowship here in this assembly? One writer said it like this: being received into this fellowship means you are ready to embrace the privilege of the local church life and willing to accept your responsibilities with us. And so there's both sides to being in fellowship. Sharing together and participating not only includes the blessings and the benefits, but the responsibilities that we have, the work of the assembly. So to be in fellowship is to participate, not to spectate. And if we're not careful, we can get comfortable with being in that position. And, you know, we might think of the members of our body. What if one of our members of the body chose to stop functioning as it should for the body and just to sit back and spectate and not really take an active role in the health of the body? Then that particular body would suffer as a result. So it is with the local assembly as well. All of us have an important part in this fellowship. All of us can participate and need to participate in the blessings as well as the responsibilities. Steve Holshiser wrote this. He said, "The idea of a local assembly being a supermarket to which saints can get what they want, when they want it, and simply pay someone to manage it is foreign to Scripture." And I would definitely say an amen to that. We don't see that teaching in Scripture. And once again, I'm excited to see the amount of participation that we already have here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. Very, very blessed to see that. But we still want to examine ourselves to see, can we grow? Can we deepen our commitment in that way? So the test of our fellowship is the measure of our the measure to which we are joining together, sharing together in the total activities of the assembly. Whether it means attending the meetings, and it's more than just attendance, but it involves serving, it involves taking on areas of responsibility, it involves coming together for corporate prayer as a part of this local fellowship, remembering our Lord together, as we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. All of these are important aspects of the fellowship, and we individually need to be committed to all these aspects of fellowship. And so we want to continue steadfastly. Not just are we attending, but then even more than just attending, are we continuing steadfastly in these areas, as Acts 2:42 tells us. So when we think about the truth of fellowship, we also want to test ourselves. How do I know if I'm in fellowship? If we don't have a membership list, and we don't have a list that you can look at and say, well, my name is on that list, well, then how do I know if I'm in fellowship? Perhaps some questions that we could ask ourselves may help us to in examining our own fellowship. First of all, am I sharing or jointly participating in regular attendance at the meetings? And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, once again, it says that they continued steadfastly for these four things, in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so, in Hebrews 10:25, it refers to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And as I mentioned this on last Sunday night, and I'll mention it again because it really struck me for the first time when I was thinking about that verse, thinking about us as a body, an assembly as a body, is to, if thinking about that, assembling together as a body. And if one member of my body, my body, if one member chose not to assemble with the rest of my body, well, I've got a problem. I've got a serious problem. If my hand is disjointed from the rest of my body, I've got a problem. And you know, so it is with all of us together as members of this fellowship. To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a body. We are all important. It's important for all of us to be here when we can, to be committed, steadfastly committed to these reasons. And so while fellowship is more than simply attendance, we still can't jointly participate without being here. We know that fellowship is more than just attendance, but yet it's hard to be true participants in the work without being here, being steadfastly committed to being here. And once again, this is not to put a guilt trip on somebody when they can't be here. That's not the issue. The issue, I want to make this very clear, as we did last Sunday night, the issue is not perfect attendance. We don't see that in Scripture. The issue is being steadfastly committed. Being steadfastly committed. Because, you know, if I'm, it's just like, I think most of us are steadfastly committed to eating our meals every day. And if we missed those meals, then, you can miss meals. I mean, I could stand to miss a few more meals probably. But if we missed meals, certainly it's okay to do that. There might be a good reason why you miss a meal. You might be sick, or you might have a good reason why you can't have that particular meal. But you know what? You're still steadfastly committed to having those meals, and you're going to continue to eat. You're going to continue to eat, have those meals. And so it is when we think of being in attendance at the meetings. The idea is not perfect attendance. The idea is my commitment. Am I steadfastly committed? Is it a priority that I want to be here because I'm in fellowship? I'm a part of this body, and I'm jointly participating. Another question we could ask ourselves is, am I sharing or jointly participating in the ministries of this local assembly by exercising my spiritual gift? And we know that as believers, the Scripture teaches that when we're saved, He gives us gifts to use in the service for the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And just like the different members of our body have different functions, we all have different functions here in the assembly. And I appreciate Ron making that invitation to come in together for the Singspiration. But you know, if I signed up to be on that list, you know, you talked about having Southern Gospel or maybe Contemporary, I'd have my own little category if I'm not going to do that, because that's not my area of expertise or gift or anything. But you know, we all have different areas that we can serve in. And sometimes those areas require spiritual gifts, and sometimes they don't. But sometimes they might require just a willingness to jointly participate. Am I willing? Am I steadfastly committed to fellowship, where I'm willing to say, yes, I want to be a part. I don't want to just spectate. I want to be a part of this assembly, because God has led me here, and I am a member of this body of believers. And so what are some ways that we could help? Let me just give you some practical suggestions. There's music ministry, visitation, cleanup, setup, teaching, oversight, prayer, encouragement through kind words or cards, calls and visits, greeting, sound system, hospitality, building lockup, handing out tracts. When we set up days to go out into the neighborhoods and hand out seed sower packets, or when we have a week of vacation Bible school, we're going to go out and hand out flyers. Those are some things that we could all do. Every one of us, most of us anyway, if we're physically able, could get out and do some of these activities. Some of them requiring spiritual gifts and having a willingness to exercise those gifts. Others, just a willingness to serve. A willingness to say, I'm going to be available, and I want to help. I want to participate. I want to be an active participant here in this local fellowship. And so many other things could be said, but we need to move on for time. So the question is, have you been attending, but maybe not really participating? Or maybe you have been participating, but you feel the Lord speaking to your heart, you know, I need to deepen my level of commitment to fellowship. And that doesn't mean you haven't been helping at all, but it means perhaps there's more that you could do. Perhaps you feel the Lord leading you to be involved in other areas. And if you're not sure what you could do, see one of the elders or somebody that you have confidence in here, and we'll be glad to direct you to be involved. A third question we could ask ourselves is, am I sharing or jointly participating in serving others in the assembly? I think this is real important. And I really think that this sets apart real believers in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and real assemblies that have the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church versus just another organization, is that loving service that we have toward one another. If you would turn to John chapter 13, we'll take a minute and turn there. John chapter 13, I know that this is a passage that we're familiar with, but nonetheless I want to take a second to look at it. Jesus not only taught this truth about serving one another, but he lived it. He demonstrated it to his own disciples the night in which he was betrayed. when he girded himself with a towel and he went down and got down on his hands and knees and he washed the disciples' feet. And you remember who was present? It was all of the disciples were present, all 12 of them at that time when he washed their feet. Judas was right there. The one who in a few hours would go out and betray him was right there present when he washed their feet. Let's read verse number 12 of John 13. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again and he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And to me, we don't know of all that goes on between individuals when somebody is willing to help out another believer here in this assembly. But we know a lot about what goes on, and it is very encouraging to see that. It is very encouraging to see when another brother or sister is willing to go and to help out another brother or sister here in the assembly, to show the love of Christ, to serve them, to help them in some way, whether it be to make a meal or to rake leaves for shut-ins or to do home repairs for someone who is either unable or financially unable to do that. Maybe to watch kids for a couple so that they can go out and have an evening to themselves. Maybe to go trim someone's hedges or provide transportation to the meetings at night because somebody can't see very well at night. Maybe it's to be a prayer partner for someone, to visit the sick or the shut-ins, to go to the nursing home or to the hospitals and visit those who are lonely and need some encouragement, to pick up kids in the van. There's all kinds of ways that we can show the love of Christ to others. And this is our opportunity. Let us do good to all men, the Bible says, especially to those who are of the household of faith, to show that love. That's one of the blessings of being in fellowship in an assembly like this, is we can all come together when we see that there's a need and help to meet that need. And you know, it's just as much a blessing to be on the giving end as on the receiving end. To be able to show that love of Christ to others is such a blessing to be able to serve in that way. And so this is one of the ways that we can serve. And we could look at some scripture in 1 John chapter 3 where it talks about the love of Christ and how he laid down his life for us. And it says that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's part of the fellowship. Laying down our lives for one another. And you know, what is the blessing to the assembly when that happens? It's not just to the individuals who are on the receiving end of the service. But you know what the scripture says? The Lord said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." How is that? By the love that you have for one another. By the love that we have for one another, the world looks on and say, "These people are different." The love of God is in their hearts. They're not just living for their own selves. They're not just living selfish lives. They see their body as one, and they see the needs, and they're willing to show the love of Christ to those. What a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another question we can ask ourselves is, am I sharing or jointly participating by extending hospitality to others? Showing hospitality. I think that's a real need for us in the assembly. And I know that that's an area that we've been burdened about in our family, is to be able to show hospitality to others. And we want to grow in our commitment to the fellowship in that way. And we appreciate your prayers concerning that. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another." Not just love, but fervent love for one another. He says, "Love will cover the multitudes of sins." And in that context, the very next verse, verse 9, says this, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." I found that very, very interesting. In Romans chapter 12, a very similar passage, verses 10 through 13, says to be kindly affectionate. Don't you just love the body of Christ? To be a part of the body of Christ, where we can show the love of Christ that he has shown to us to one another. He says to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And just two verses down, you know what he says he wants us to be? Given to hospitality. Maybe that's an area that you could grow in your commitment into this fellowship, is being hospitable, inviting others into your home for a meal to get to know them a little bit better. Another question we could ask ourselves is, am I sharing or jointly participating in giving financially to this assembly? That's part of fellowship. One of the words that is translated for the word for fellowship refers to giving, our jointly sharing together with the financial needs of this assembly. And I know our brother Mark has been talking about that as well. But in 1 Corinthians 16:2, talks about sharing with the assembly upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has promised him, has prospered him. And so as God has provided our needs, we want to share with the work here financially. And also sharing with individuals. Hebrews 13:16 talks about sharing with individuals as well. Another question. There's a lot of questions, isn't it? I feel like you're taking a test here this morning. The kids are back to school, and now I'm giving you a test. So another question we could ask ourselves is, am I sharing or jointly participating in living a clean life? This is important to the fellowship as well. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we can look at an example of Achan in the Old Testament when his individual sin affected the whole camp of Israel. And so we want to be careful about living a clean life and affecting the assembly body in that way. Another question is, am I sharing or jointly participating in corporate prayer for the assembly? Not only for the individual needs of the assembly, but for the assembly and the ministries of the assembly as well. Am I committed? Am I steadfastly committed to coming together for corporate prayer? I think this would be a question we could ask ourselves as far as being in fellowship. And I'm not going to take time to look at the passages of Scripture like we did last Sunday night thinking about corporate prayer. But I'll just remind you about in the book of Acts, it's very, very clear that the early church didn't just meet for prayer, but they steadfastly continued in prayer. And prayer was vital to the early church. It wasn't just an added on meeting, but they saw it as necessary. They saw it as vital. And we can see examples of when they were being persecuted for speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what they did? They met together for prayer. It wasn't just that they said, oh, you know, brother, I pray for you individually. They met together for prayer when there were needs of the assembly. And they came together. In fact, I was talking to Mark about this last Sunday, and he pointed this out in Acts 4 and verse 24. It says, and when they heard that's talking about the persecution that they were going to bring upon them, that they raised their voice to God. I thought that was an interesting observation. It doesn't say that they raised their voices to God. They raised their voice to God. As an assembly, there were one voice. That was one voice coming up to God as they met together for corporate prayer. And the Lord blessed as they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. Another example of how imperative it was for them to meet for corporate prayer. You remember when Peter was cast into a prison after James had been killed. James had been executed, and now they took Peter. And the Bible says that they came together, not just individuals praying, but they met together corporately for prayer. That's Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But notice this, it says this, constant prayer was made for him by the church. Constant prayer. They were committed to it. It wasn't just a casual gathering of the believers. They were committed to corporate prayer. They saw it as absolutely necessary. Now, what if some of those believers had not been committed? You can't help but wonder if Peter had been released from prison. But they were committed. They prayed steadfastly together, it says, by the church. And then, of course, at the end of that passage, when Peter was released, you know, he knew where to go. He knew where to find the believers that were gathered together praying. And, you know, do people know where I'm going to be on a Wednesday night? Do they have an idea? Do they know that I have a commitment, that I'm going to steadfastly commit to corporate prayer here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel? And once again, being steadfastly committed to something doesn't mean you're going to have perfect attendance, but it means it's going to be a priority. And it means making a choice between one thing over another sometimes, and what you're going to be committed to and what I'm going to be committed to. And so we want to examine our level of commitment when it comes to corporate prayer. And so there are several questions that we can ask ourselves. Am I jointly participating in the assembly by being steadfastly committed with attendance, by joining in corporate prayer, by exercising my spiritual gifts, being involved in the work of the ministry, being involved in showing and expressing love to others in all of these other ways that we've talked about? Have you noticed the difference between the privileges of being in fellowship and the responsibilities? They're really the same. The privileges and the responsibilities are the same. The matter is the direction. Because the privilege of being in fellowship is there's brothers and sisters that are praying for me. There's brothers and sisters here. They're going to be showing love to me. And I'm on the receiving end. But, you know, the direction goes the other way as too. Because as a part of the fellowship, I want to be praying for those brothers and sisters here. I want to be showing love to the brothers and sisters here. And so it's the direction going in both the ways. And so it is with the body. Jointly participating. All the members coming together, needed and necessary to jointly participate in the different aspects of the meeting. You know, if I got up one morning and I couldn't walk, you know, I could say, well, you know, it's not really that big deal. It's just my leg. It's just one part of my body. But you know, you wouldn't say that, would you? You would say, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with my leg. This is one member of my body, but there's something wrong. And it affects the whole body. I hope that we all realize the importance that we as individuals play corporately to the fellowship of this body. Because we all have an important role. And so we all want to look at ourselves individually as far as our commitment to fellowship. And so thinking about overall in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Am I steadfastly committed to the apostles' doctrine? That is, coming together when we are here to learn about God's plan for the church and for our lives. Am I steadfastly committed to fellowship? That is, my participation here in this assembly. Am I steadfastly committed to the breaking of bread, meeting together to remember the person around which we meet, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you steadfastly committed to that reason? Are you steadfastly committed to prayer, corporate prayer, coming together as we do on Wednesday nights and have that opportunity to ask God to pour out his power? That's the power of the local church. It's prayer. And are you steadfastly, am I steadfastly committed to those things? And so as we think about those areas, I would encourage you, as our brother plays the verse of a hymn at the close of the meeting, is not look to my left or to my right, but to look in the mirror at myself, as all of us have to do, is I might already be committed, but is there room for growth? Ask God, we can all ask God to show us, how can I grow in my commitment, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers? And this is not for our glory or glory of the assembly. It's for the one who is the head of the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray that end. Father, as we think about the truths that you have set before us in your word, and we pray, Father, that you will help us to honestly evaluate ourselves. We thank you, Father, that when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, that he was willing to be steadfastly committed to go into the cross of Calvary. He set his face as a flint to go to the cross where he might die for our sins and be raised again so that we could be saved, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could, in fact, have an assembly just like this where we could serve you and meet together and share in the love of Christ. And I pray, Father, that this assembly will be all that it can be for your honor and glory, as we pray in his name. Amen.